are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Train. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places, Forbes, SB Nation, Inside Football, The Maven, Journal Inquirer. You can find all my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. And for today's show, we are doing part two of a mini-series we started yesterday, in which Mike Renner, a Pro Football Focus, is back with me to break down the Giants' defense and their options, whether they would be better off going in free agency or the draft. And Mike's got some great stats and information, as do the rest of the guys over at Pro Football Focus. So if you're not checking that work out, make sure you do. And Mike, thanks so much for coming back for your second go-round, and I'm looking forward to going over the defense with you.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. Hopefully this one goes about as smoothly as the offense did, but they think they got a few more holes defensively than they might offensively.
Yeah, that's putting it kindly, Mike. So what do you say we jump right in, because there's probably a little bit more to cover on the defensive side of the ball. Now, I think the number one thing when you look at the Giants' defense, you know, that if you're Dave Gettleman, that you have to fix is that pass rush. Because, you know, last year their only quote-unquote legitimate pass rusher they had was Olivier Vernon. He missed, I think, something like five or six games with a high ankle sprain the second year in a row he had that injury, and there really wasn't much behind him in the way of a pass rush. So when you look at rebuilding that pass rush or supplementing the pass rush, where do you start? Do you start with the edge guys? Do you start with the interior? Where do you start for them?
I think edge is their biggest need. You just looked at any pass rusher not named Olivier Vernon on their team last year, and they had nothing. I mean, they were not productive whatsoever. The Kareem Martin signing was a swing and a miss. He did not upgrade them whatsoever. Connor Barwin either. I mean, Lorenzo Carter, you have some hope for, but as far as rookies go, productivity-wise, there was really not much to be encouraged by from his performance. He was obviously a raw prospect coming out, so there's that. Like, you expected that to be the case, but it's not like he necessarily improved terribly much down the stretch of his season.
And I want to stay on Olivier Vernon for a minute, because, you know, a lot of Giant fans were surprised when it was announced that he was a first-team alternate for the Pro Bowl. And, of course, you know, with Khalil Mack bowing out, Vernon is now in the Pro Bowl. Were you surprised? I mean, was there some hidden productivity there in his game that maybe people were overlooking?
Yeah, I think he was actually productive, and he sort of got cast under, just overshadowed by the fact that no one else was being, you know, putting any pressure on the quarterback there. So, well, the whole defense as a whole didn't look like they were pressuring quarterbacks, but down the stretch when he was healthy towards the end of the season, I mean, he had three different games with six plus pressures in his last six games. He really was fairly good down, you know, towards the end of the year, good enough to where, you know, even with his big contract, you'd say you'd still want to keep him around, you know, at his cap number. So I do think the Pro Bowl bid, while probably a little bit much in terms of he just didn't play enough to necessarily warrant it, I do think he was playing at a high level, though, towards the end of the year.
But with that said, Mike, I mean, I think we can probably all agree that he wasn't playing quite at the level of, say, a Khalil Mack or even a Von Miller. So, you know, with a cap decision, you know, having to make a cap decision on him, I mean, if you're the Giants, do you say, okay, look, we're going to cut your deal down, you know, especially because he's coming off of two straight years of injuries? Do you just say, you know what, we're going to move in a different direction because this draft class is loaded with pass rushers, or do you, you know, go in a different direction and maybe look at a 30-year-old or something like that in free agency?
Yeah, so I mean, cutting him would save, you know, 10 plus million, in cap space, which obviously is attractive at this point, but he never was Khalil Mack. He never was Von Miller. You know, they signed him because pass rushers do just get paid a lot of money. They have big quality pass rushers are not easy to come by, and they don't come cheap. And so if you did cut him, replacing his production on the free agent market, and then, like I said, you have to upgrade the position across from him as well, you know, addressing two positions then would get expensive. It would get, you know, costly in terms of how much they'd have to invest there, you know, whether it be a first round, second round pick to try to replace that. I'm not sure cutting him is where I'd first look to sort of, you know, create space for the future here.
So what's your first option then? Would you would keep him, obviously. Would you go free agency to get him, you know, like an upgrade from Kareem Martin, or would you go draft at this point?
I would have liked to have gone would like to go free agency, but again, you already spent, so you spent the money on Kareem Martin, you spent the money on Olivier Vernon. If you go out and sign another free agent, you have a ridiculous amount of cap hit, you know, subject to one position, allocated to one position, which is just not a lot of teams are willing to do that in the NFL today. So I think the draft is going to be their best bet, and they're in luck because there's a lot of pass rushers in this draft. A lot of quality ones will get pushed down, whether it's to their sixth overall pick or in the second and third round. So I do think that's probably their best bet to address it.
Is there anybody in particular in this draft class that you think would be a fit based on production scheme and that one for the Giants?
If they do end up, if Josh Allen ends up falling to them at six and they don't want to take a quarterback there, I think that would be my pick for them. That would be an ideal situation for them because he's very complimentary to Olivier Vernon in that he can do a lot of things from a coverage perspective that you don't want Olivier Vernon dropping into coverage in this sort of defense that had, you know, Lorenzo Carr dropped into a coverage a good amount across from this year. So I think the defense requires a defensive end that can also cover as well as rush the passer, and that would be Josh Allen to a T.
And, you know, we talk about, you know, Olivier Vernon's production, and I know there was some question, again, amongst Giant fans. They were surprised that JPP was traded away because allegedly JPP wasn't thought to be a fit for the 3-4. Having gone back and looked at, you know, the production that Vernon put forward, even with the injury and whatnot, would you say, you know, he was a better fit for the 3-4 or the 4-3?
I think he's just capable of doing both, to be honest. I think the way he rushes the passer fits in both of those. But I do think they were smart to move JPP. If you saw him this past season, he was far, far less productive than he has been in the past. I would agree with the assessment that he's not a good fit for a 3-4 defense. So I do think that move ended up looking pretty prudent in hindsight.
You say JPP wasn't as productive. Didn't he have double-digit sacks this year? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but where, you know, obviously sacks are not the be-all, end-all when grading edge defenders.
Yeah, they are not, especially in our system. We don't grade them any higher, you know, if you finish a sack versus if you just get in the quarterback's face, because a lot of times the difference between those two is purely on the quarterback you're facing. He did have a good sack total this season, but he's still at the rate he was pressuring quarterbacks was not near the rate we've seen from him in the past. And we actually saw Olivier Vernon have more pressures without even having played the full season this year.
Okay. Now, Mike, I want to turn the attention inside because, you know, I think everybody, or I shouldn't say everybody, I know I was surprised when the Giants traded Damon Harrison mid-year. You know, I know he's consistently won PFF's best run defender award, still playing at a very high level. I understand why they did it, but I was still a little surprised because I thought once they moved him, they basically, you know, the run defense took a little bit of a hit. And I don't know if that's just because these younger guys that they wanted to get in there, the BJ Hills, the Dalvin Tomlinsons, you know, maybe they just had to grow into the role. But, you know, when you look at what the Giants did with Damon Harrison, I mean, how did the Giants replace that if they can?
It's weird. I mean, I don't think there's any replacing what he does. He is the best run defending nose tackle in the NFL. You're not just going to find that guy, you know, all of a sudden through the draft or, you know, free agency. There's only one of those, and it's him. He's been that for 4 or 5 years now. But I do think what BJ Hill brings to the table, they just wanted to see more of him. And so they're kind of at this odd crossroads, the Giants are, of do we try to win now or do we try to build for the future? And that seemed more like a build for the future sort of move, because BJ Hill probably is a better pass rusher at this point than Damon Harrison is. Damon Harrison really never been much in terms of pass rushing. BJ Hill is one of the better pass rushing nose tackles in the NFL as a rookie right off the bat. Had a 72.3 pass rushing grade for us this past season. So I think that's encouraging to see. I liked him coming out in terms of what he could provide as a pass rusher. Played well at the Senior Bowl season ago. So that's encouraging to me. And I think that's that's more what you want at the nose tackle position in the modern NFL. Yeah, run defense is great, but you still want someone who can push the pocket. That's just going to lead to more sacks and help your pass defense that much more.
And when I look at the Giants front seven, you know, obviously pass rusher, getting a third guy in there because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, Olivier Vernon is a possibility. Lorenzo Carter is a guy they have hopes for, but they haven't really had a good third pass rusher, you know, the way the 2007 team did and the way the 2011 championship team did. So if you're the Giants and you're saying, okay, we've got to add more firepower in that front seven, you know, I also look at the defensive line, and that's a line that's kind of thin, I think, in terms of, you know, having eight legitimate guys they can rotate in and out, even if they bring back Kerry Wynn. So where do you see maybe the strength of free agency as it stands now, or the strength of the draft aligning to favor them in the front, the defensive line, or in the, you know, the edge rushers?
So free agency is going to have a lot of edge rushers, and that's why I said it would be great if you could sign one of those guys, because there's probably eight or nine guys that would come in and be an immediate upgrade, but at the same time, you're going to have to allocate some money there to do so. So I do think edge is strong in free agency, but luckily in the draft, interior and edge, both strong. I mean, I think there's going to be a immediate impact starter there waiting for them at six if they so choose to go that route somewhere along the defensive line. Because that, I think there's probably, I was counting up the numbers the other day, there might be 15 defensive linemen that go in the first round legitimately, just because there's that many guys who are quality players who, you know, could impact teams right away off the bat. So this is the year, if you want a defensive lineman, this is the year to be drafting one.
And just to, you know, to clarify, you know, when you look at the defensive linemen that are in the draft, are they more suited for a 3-4? Are they more of a 4-3, or are they versatile enough to go into any type of system?
I mean, I think there's just so many that you're going to find one that you like that fits your system, especially, you know, if you're drafting in the top 10. Because like I said, there are just that many guys, whether it be edge rushers or interior guys. And a lot of the interior guys, luckily in this class, are very versatile in terms of they can play anywhere up and down the line of scrimmage on the interior. So I think that's a good thing for them to be in need of that. Outside of, you know, BJ Hill, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Olivier Vernon on this roster, everyone else is kind of take it or leave it. Like, there's no other starter on that, you know, Giants roster. There's no other starter there up front that can be, you know, has their job set in stone at this point that, you know, isn't capable of being let go, just because those are the only three guys who have really showed anything on tape over the past couple seasons. So I do think a lot of jobs will be up for grabs there on that front defensive line.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. We are breaking down the New York Giants defense and some of their options that they're going to have in the upcoming free agency and draft. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back and to talk more about the defense. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and special guest Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. We are in part two of our breakdown of the roster. We're looking at the defensive side of the ball, just finished talking about the defensive front. And Mike, let's turn our attention to the linebackers now, because, you know, last year, obviously the Giants showed a little bit of love. They traded for Alec Ogletree, who got off to a slow start, finished kind of on a strong up note there. BJ Goodson, he's a guy who, you know, I got to be honest with you, I like him, but I don't know quite what to make of him. When you look at his, you know, his play, his numbers, his production, do you think that the Giants got what they were maybe looking for out of him?
Out of BJ Goodson, I think he's all right. I mean, I think you could do much worse at linebacker at the moment. I think he's offers some as a pass rusher in terms of blitzing prowess. I think he can do that well. Coverage, he's fine. He's adequate enough in coverage. I think that's about the linebacker you're getting out of him. You're not getting special high-level traits, but, you know, at the linebacker position, you don't necessarily need an impact sort of guy. You can get by. We saw a lot of even elite defenses get by with just average sort of play there.
And then behind those two, I mean, I don't know, did they really I mean, they had some different guys. They had Ty Davis, I know, was a guy. They brought in Nate Stupar, who stepped in there when, you know, Ogletree was injured. But I don't know. I mean, I would think that especially those inside linebackers are a guy. That's an area that the Giants could probably look to add some talent there.
Yeah, I would agree as well. And truthfully, if you're looking to you know, shave some space. I think Alec Ogletree's contract is one that is a little expensive for an off-ball linebacker who, quite frankly, has not ever necessarily been that great in coverage. Now, he had a lot of picks last year, but not a lot of them were necessarily his doing. So I do think linebacker, I mean, I think this has been the theme for the Giants for a decade now. It's just been a position that you could get a playmaker at that they really just have never had there in New York.
And if they're looking to get a playmaker, especially for that interior, what's their best option, free agency or draft? And give me any kind of names that you might be thinking would be a fit.
I think there's a few names in free agency that'll, there will be a few, you know, available guys who could definitely be an upgrade. CJ Mosley, I know, is one of them who, from the Ravens, who had a fairly solid year this past year, has been solid over the course of his career, would definitely be an upgrade for teams. In the draft, I'm not sure they'd, at number six overall, that they'd be in play for Devin White, the LSU linebacker, but he's definitely a playmaker, definitely a guy who, you know, is worthy of a first-round selection, worthy of being drafted highly. Maybe more in the second round, someone like Mack Wilson out of Alabama, who is much more of a, I'd say much more of a playmaker, much more physical than the linebackers they have now. He's a big hitter there at linebacker for Alabama.
And then also they seem to like to have a guy who can be kind of that utility man, a guy who can, you know, play inside, play outside. Is there such a guy out there, again, either in free agency or the draft that, you know, just might be worth taking a look at?
In terms of, you know, hybrid, in terms of going rushing the passer, and I'm trying to think. No one really comes to mind for right off the bat. Maybe Anthony Barr in free agency could do that. I know he did some of that in Minnesota, and he came out of UCLA as a you know, as a pass rusher, and then moved to off ball linebacker. I think that skill set would fit in the Giants defense and what they like to do. But at the same time, you're going to have to pay a lot for a guy like that. I'm not sure. Again, like I said, with Alec Ogletree's contract, you already, it's similar, goes back to the similar argument with Olivier Vernon. You already have an $11 million cap hit on the books with him. Are you willing to then sign another guy for $10 million a year and put that on the books? I don't think they would. So I think you have to be looking for the draft at that point.
Now, I have to ask you this because this idea has been floated a little bit. And it, to me, it's intriguing, and I want to get your take on it. Some people have suggested that the Giants consider making Landon Collins, of course, who's he's a free agent, but, you know, everybody's hopeful that he will be back, and turning him into that Deion Buchanan type of role that Betcher had when he was in Arizona, you know, that hybrid safety type linebacker. When you look at Landon Collins, his production and his skill set, do you think that could be an option for the Giants?
Oh, for sure. I think that's, you know, a great role for him. He's at his best in the box. You'd have to re-sign him first. I don't think he's. And the thing is, this Landon Collins has to want it too. So if you say, you know, hey, we're going to resign you, but we're going to make you a linebacker, he might balk at that and say, no, you know, I won't play safety. I played safety my entire life. So that will be, you know, that might be tough to convince for a guy who's not necessarily under contract at the moment. So I do think that is a good option, though. If he wants to be on board with that, I think he would excel in a role like that.
And you know, while we're on the topic of Landon Collins, you know, there's again, a lot of people seem to think that he's going to get the franchise tag. And I think I'm one of the people in the minority. I don't think they'll go franchise. I think they go transition tag with him. It's a tag that they don't really use very often, but it's got its benefits of that. I mean, you know, what, based on your understanding of the cap, could you see a scenario like that? I mean, especially considering the Giants actually looked to shop Landon Collins last year and they didn't get any takers for, you know, a number two pick, which I believe which was their asking price. So do you think there's some value in maybe, you know, putting the transition tag on him?
I think there is. The only problem at this point is, though, that the safety class in Perinci is very deep. And if you looked at the safety class a season ago and how you know, how basically not a lot of teams were willing to pay, you know, guys like Eric Reed went unsigned all offseason. Trey Boston, it took a while for him to even get signed. There just wasn't a huge market for free agent safeties. And now with a lot of talented ones hitting the market like Earl Thomas, you know, Eric Reed, even again, I do think that the market for a trade for Landon Collins might not necessarily materialize if they do end up going transition tag.
Okay. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. We're breaking down the New York Giants defense and their best options. Stay with us for segment number three, where we wrap everything up. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus, and we're taking a look at the Giants' options coming up, whether, you know, they have a need, and if they have a need, are they better off addressing it in free agency or the draft? And we've been talking about the defensive line. In the first segment, we were just talking about the linebackers and Landon Collins. In the second segment, Mike, an area the Giants have got to put at, you know, if not at number one A, in my opinion, free safety. What's out there in the draft and free agency in terms of free safety?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of guys in free agency, like I mentioned before, that will be available. There will be, you know, Earl Thomas, guys, Eric Reed. There are a handful of safeties out there right now that could step in and be an impact player right away. But again, you have to re-sign kind of your own. So if you don't re-sign Landon Collins, or if you don't franchise tag and whatnot, all of a sudden you have multiple safeties then that you have to address. You need multiple guys to fill in those positions there. So I do think I think they're at kind of this crossroads where they have so much cap space allotted to defense in terms of Janoris Jenkins, you know, Olivier Vernon, Alec Ogletree. They have these guys on big contracts, but they're all kind of underperforming. None of them are really living up to those contracts. So they're at this crossroads where you can't really sign a big name for another big name free agent. You can't allocate that much more money to your defense, because then that's so many big free agents that you're paying all this money to that aren't, you know, and if they don't produce, all of a sudden you're not getting the results you want and you're strapped up against the cap. So I do think their best bet is probably to address it through the draft if possible.
And the draft class, you know, depending on who you talk to, it seems to be mixed reactions regarding the safety class, especially, you know, for a legitimate center fielder.
Yeah, I don't think there's really high-end talent at safety, but there's a number of names in the, you know, second, third rounds that I think will get drafted. They have a chance to step in and possibly be starters right away. Now, I don't know for sure if there's, you know, the free safety type. I do like what I've seen from Delaware safety Nazir Adderley and Alabama safety Deontay Thompson. Now, they both might end up going in the first round and not necessarily be worth a top 10 pick where the Giants are. But I do think if one of them's on the wrap there, like I said in the second, Nazir Adderley very well could be the Delaware safety who was down the Senior Bowl this week. He has freakish range. I think he could be a guy they'd take a look at.
They got to do something there, because I don't know that they can necessarily go another year with Curtis Riley, who, to be fair, Curtis Riley was a converted cornerback. You know, it was his first year playing the position. But, you know, just you like to see the guy start to peak upward. And I'm not so sure his stats, you know, and his production went in that direction.
No, yeah, he was not. He did not grade out well for us this past season, I'll just say.
Yeah, I think he had the highest number of missed tackles on the team, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
he had 23 in on only like 80 something attempts, which is not that's one of the worst rates in the league, I'll just say.
Yeah, that sounds it. And then finally, Mike, let's talk about cornerbacks. Now, this is an interesting debate that, again, depending on who you speak with, people have different opinions. You know, we've been talking about Janoris Jenkins and the big cap hit he has. When I look at the Giant cornerback group, I say to myself, okay, you know what? They're really not in that bad a shape. And I say that because, okay, yes, Janoris Jenkins has a high cap number, but they have Sam Beal, who they drafted last year in the supplemental round. And assuming he's healthy, I think he's going to be one of the starters. I think Jenkins can be a starter for another year. You know, they have Grant Haley, who played, you know, started out in the slot and sometimes moved outside. I think they may bring back B.W. Webb. So really, you know, as I see it, maybe one cornerback is what they really need to add. When you look at the Giant cornerback production, I mean, do you agree with that? Or do you, you know, am I overlooking something in terms of, you know, what they delivered?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just sort of, you're at a risky position here in terms of Janoris Jenkins has kind of been trending downwards lately. Yeah, after that, you know, great 2016 season he has not necessarily been as good since, and is not getting, you know, any younger here. He's already over 30 at this point, so maybe it's, you know, not ridiculous to say his best football has behind him at this point. Now, he's still a fine corner, but like I said, he's been trending downwards of late. And then Sam Beal, while yes, you drafted in the supplemental round, and yes, he didn't play at all as a rookie, and you're still counting on him to play, you really have no clue what you have there. You know, you have no clue what he's actually going to be at the NFL level. So it's a risk. I think I'd try to mitigate that by at least drafting one, not necessarily at the top of the draft, but somewhere in the middle rounds to sort of say, hey, we can't be, because it's probably the most, one of the most valuable positions on the football field after quarterback. The cornerback position is, you just can't be, not a lot of good teams are just awful at that position.
Are there any names in the draft that you think would be good value in that, you know, maybe day two or even that day three range?
I got to be honest, I haven't gotten to the day two and day three cornerbacks in terms of film study, but I think they could use some size at the cornerback position with how they play. A guy like Imani Oruwariye down the Penn State cornerback, 6'1", I think could be an option for them. Any of the Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky is also a bigger cornerback who projects to the middle rounds. Someone like that, I think they could use some size in that secondary at this point.
And then finally, Mike, what's one thing that would surprise you if the Giants just kind of went in a different direction? In other words, whether it be a move that they need to make, that we think we need, they need to make, that they don't. I mean, where do you see there maybe being the oh my God type of moment, if you will?
I guess it would just really surprise me if they didn't address the secondary or wholeheartedly, or cut one of these players with a high cap hit. I just think with three guys underperforming like that, you would just be crazy to keep all their cap hits at this point and not try to clear some space, try to, you know, overhaul, try to, you know, churn this roster as much as you possibly can, because the fact of the matter is they weren't good last year. This was not a good team last year, and this was not a good defense. So something has to change. They're trying to keep status quo with all these guys. Just doesn't seem like, in my opinion, a great way to, you know, even improve in the future here.
And it's kind of a tough balance too, because you know you have holes that you have to fill, but at the same time you got to be, you know, careful about creating new holes, especially if if you got guys that you can live with, you know, another year.
Yeah, and it's the thing. It's like, I think, you know, Ogletree, Vernon, their contract, and Jenkins, I don't think their contracts are even up next year, though. So it's one of those situations where if you don't do it this year, well, then the cap hits, you're rolling over that dead cap to next year. You might as well just bite the bullet at this point, because I think realistically, I think you and me can look each other in the eye and say, they're not winning the Super Bowl next year. They're not at that level talent-wise as a roster. They'd need, you know, Eli Manning to really turn back the clock in a big, big way to even have a chance at that. So at this point, I think you bite the bullet, you take the cap hit now, so you have free cap space in 2020, and that's when you're back on track to look at a Super Bowl run.
All right, Mike, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you follow me on Twitter at @PFF_Mike.
All right. Awesome. I really appreciate it, folks. If you missed yesterday's show, make sure you check it out. Mike broke down the offense with me. Really some good stuff. Mike, thank you so much. Best of luck in the upcoming free agency and all the draft work that you guys have on tap. And hopefully we see you at the combine.
Appreciate it, Patricia. Thanks so much.
All right. That's Mike Renner for Pro Football Focus. Giant fans, stay tuned. This week we have Twitter Thursday coming up, so get your questions in. Ask P-Train. You can tweet them to me at Patricia_Traina or email them to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. For Mike Renner, this is Patricia Traina signing off. Thank you.